There is a quite uniquely American spirit of adventure and exploration that has, quite frankly, ensconced people for generations now. In the westward expansion of the North American continent, men and women were led by the allure of land and freedom, of the possibility of fame and fortune, so that they could build upon their dreams, and in the great character of adventure and exploration. They went off into the wild and great unknown, though, as we know, the ventures were not always of great repute. Many times the ideas of fame and fortune overtook the others, which inevitably led to the exploitation of others and misuse of the land. But as adventurous as people can be, all of us are always sinners in need of salvation and in need of a Savior. And in our sinful nature, we are utterly hopeless and lost, even in our best intentions, until those intentions are based upon the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. And Father, may we now see you as you are revealed in the fullness of your glory, and as we strip down ourselves, Lord, and take inventory on our absolute need of the Savior. Amen. So a few days ago in our Ash Wednesday service, which was an invitation to keep a holy Lent, I encouraged you to consider the time of Lent as a journey into the wilderness. A journey into the wilderness. You know, the parallel of our modern journey that we take over these next 40 days plus six Sundays. Like that of the early westward expansion Americans, only in the fact that we also are sinners in need of salvation. But we go off into the wilderness now. We have entered into the wilderness during this season of Lent, not in order to see our own righteousness, not in order to know that I have done what I set out to do because I successfully gave up sweets, but rather because I deny myself the opportunity to provide any perception of righteousness that I think I might be able to bring. Lent is a time of preparation. And we need, quite honestly, to prepare ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves by penitence, fasting, and prayer for the coming resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We prepare in mind, body, spirit, and soul by taking inventory of just how sinful and disobedient I really am. None of us are capable of providing righteousness in the least. If that were so, then we wouldn't need a Savior, and this would be completely useless. But we do need a Savior, because I cannot provide my own righteousness. You cannot provide your own righteousness. No one else can provide that for you but Jesus Christ. We need a Savior. And what a Savior we have. So, brothers and sisters, we prepare ourselves. We prepare ourselves in order to have His fullness revealed to us in our belief and in our unbelief, in our trust and our lack thereof, in our obedience and in our disobedience, in our ambition and in our mercy. Our journey into the wilderness. To be clear, this journey into the wilderness, we do not go into the wild in search of God. We don't go looking for God. We go into the wild because God has already found us. So Luke chapter 4 presents us with Jesus going into the wilderness, led by the Holy Spirit, to be tempted for 40 days by Satan. You know, this is immediately following Jesus being baptized by John in the River Jordan. And these actions, they completely follow suit with each other and with who Jesus is. He is absolutely obedient to the will of God the Father. He took on baptism as perfect and willful obedience, and now we see the Holy Spirit leading Jesus into temptation in the wilderness. Jesus, I want to be clear, Jesus did not go and receive baptism because as a cleansing of sin. He is completely without sin. He received baptism out of his perfect obedience to the Father. And now he's led by the Spirit. We see the triune God at work. Now Jesus is being led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted. Temptation, I do believe, it is important to note, is not something that God puts in front of us. God does not tempt us. The Father of all creation is not some trickster hoping to get you, who desires to play games to entice you with the desires of your flesh. That is not who God is. God does not tempt us. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that God tempts us. God did not tempt Jesus in these 40 days. God did not tempt Adam and Eve with the fruit in the garden. God did not tempt David to lustfully pursue Bathsheba. God did not tempt any of us. Satan does the tempting. We consider the Lord's Prayer, and a common question that comes up when we pray the Lord's Prayer every week, and many of us pray every day the Lord's Prayer, and specifically that petition in the prayer that says, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. This is the way the Lord taught us to pray. We wonder, does God lead us to temptation? Well, we know that God does not tempt us. But does he bring us, but he does bring, he does not tempt us, but he does bring us into the presence of many tests and temptations. The temptations come from the world, the flesh, and the devil. But he brings us into the presence of where those temptations may be. And the reality, here's the reality, is that every step that we take, every step in my life, every step in your life is a step toward temptation. There's not a moment in life that is not a moment without temptation. A moment when disbelief or disobedience is absolutely a possibility. So Jesus, when he teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, it is not a teaching against his sovereign guidance. Surely we know that we take our own steps in life. But Jesus teaches us to pray that the temptation does not get the best of us. That the temptation does not bring us down. And then we complete that petition. We complete it. Jesus, do not lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Now that he can and will do. He will deliver us from evil. So when Jesus goes off into the wilderness, he is led by God. He is led by the Holy Spirit. But he is tempted by Satan. In what can only be accomplished by the triune God, Jesus resists all of the temptations of worldly game, of fame and fortune, of land, of power, of control, all to reveal himself truly as the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, God walking on earth, the resister of all temptation. And we all face a multitude of temptations every single day. How we respond to those temptations makes all the difference in the world. And we cannot resist the temptations to sin in and of ourselves. We simply cannot. There are too many and they are too strong. Things we indulge in, addictions, desires, selfishness, those are all much stronger than we give them credit for. So, during this season of Lent, we do the hard thing. We do the hard thing and we try our best to resist. We try our best to resist knowing that of ourselves we always fail. This is why Lent always points us to the Savior. So we try to resist, especially during this season of Lent, by attempting to deny ourselves, giving up some of those things that we indulge in. You know, maybe it is sweets or fried food, or maybe it's giving up on judgment or envy or looking down on others. The reality is that we deny ourselves, and we need to deny ourselves in order to prepare for the coming resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And friends, the resurrection is no small event. In fact, it is the most important event that has ever taken place in the history of the world. We should prepare for it. We should prepare for it. This most important event that has ever taken place. And so we do that. We prepare ourselves by self-denial, by penitence, by prayer, by fasting, the hard things. We do the hard things. Over the last few weeks, I've been working on a landscaping project at the house whenever I have some free time. And yesterday was a day that I was to dig up some old landscaping bricks. And Hayes was there to help. So while we're pulling up all these bricks, he said, you know, we got about 10 minutes into the project, and he said, "Dad, you know, sometimes it's better to do the hard work first." I said, "Wow. Yeah, you're right. You're right, bud." And then I'm thinking, that's pretty wise for an 8-year-old. Yeah, you just do the hard work first. And I'm thinking, so I really quickly went to that point where I'm patting myself on the back, saying, "All right, good job, Dad. You have imparted some great wisdom onto this 8-year-old. Well done. All right." And before I could even think a second thought, he said, "Yeah, I learned that from building Legos." Yeah, humbled pretty quick there, huh? Friends, we go off into the wilderness now to do the hard things first. We go off into the wilderness not searching to find God, but in the knowledge and love that He has found us. And we do the hard part. We do the hard part of recognizing our sin, being vigilant in prayer, denying myself in order that I may truly see the redemption of the world brought with the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, and then be able to truly glory in His resurrection from the dead. Careful. Careful, though, that we don't get too haughty, pat ourselves on the back because of the great work that we've done to keep this Lenten discipline. That isn't the point. The point is to acknowledge our failures. So when you do fail on your Lenten discipline, ask God for forgiveness. That's the point. We look to the Lord. We humble ourselves in order to truly see the amazing work of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Since my Lenten discipline this year is rereading the book Confessions by St. Augustine, I'll include a quote from that book that I truly think can help us when we think about our time in Lent, prayer, penitence, and fasting, and it surely helps to keep us humble. Maybe this could even be a prayer. He writes, "The house of my soul is too small for you to enter, Lord. Make it spacious. It is in shambles. Restore it. There are things in it that you grieve to look upon. I acknowledge and I know this. But who will make it clean? It is you. And to no other that I cry out, 'Cleanse me, O Lord, from the hidden faults that are within me.'" Friends, when the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil are too strong, and they always are, we have on our side the one who is able to resist all temptation. And there is nothing of this world, not our money or our power or control or status or anything else, that could ever compare with the value of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. We are not worthy to come under his care, but he invites us anyway. He desires us anyway. So now, off to the wilderness we go, knowing that the battle has already been won. Amen.
My waking breath, for my daily bread, I depend on you, I depend on you, for the sun to rise, for my sleep at night. I depend on you, I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. The Spirit leads as I'm following. I depend on you, I depend on you for the victories still in front of me. I depend on you, I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. When I pass through death, as I enter rest, I depend on you, I depend on you, for eternal life to be raised with Christ. I depend on you, I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I am the branch and you the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. tea tree to abide. I depend on you. I depend on you.